Blog Talk Radio.
Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, with kind of a raspy voice. I was outside. The pollen is, like, so thick here in South Carolina. It's unreal. But nonetheless, I have a beautiful guest. Wait till we talk to her. But first, I want to talk to you about some things here. You know, the magazine, Mystic Living Today, celebrated its 25th year online in January. And that's when I converted the e-zine. It's still a text version, but we converted it to a flip where you can actually turn the pages. It's beautiful. We have different covers every month, and it's huge. I mean, it was over 100 pages, so that's a lot. And so anyways, if you want to ever contribute to it, just email me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com. Send me images. We put in poetry. I've done entertainers. I mean, I've done musicians. If you have music, authors of any kind, it doesn't have to be spiritual. Yeah, the site is kind of geared to that, but I don't think I've ever said no to anybody. I've even had an article on golf, so that tells you something right there. So I like all kinds of things, all walks of life, and like I said, that's been going on for 25 years, and I think about that, the longevity. It boggles my mind. It really does. I remember I used to have to solicit stuff from people. Will you please send me something? I need a poem. It was so small. It was really funny. Now, I mean, I've got 5 emails right away here of new people wanting to put something in the magazine and be on the radio show. So, you know, it's nice. I do it of service. I'm of service, and I love to bring all these beautiful people out to you when you probably otherwise will not even know who they are. Now, next is StarsWithAZPsychics.com. Well, we've been working on adding phones so you can get a phone reading. It's really close. We're just working with the developer a little bit more to get a timer going, and Tony and I will test it. We tested it once last week or 2 weeks ago, and it's fine. But there's little things, you know. When you implement something brand new, yeah, it's a beta version, and that means brand new, and there could be little kinks. But the less kinks we have, the better off it's going to flow. And I'm excited about it because I tried to do this many years ago. But the companies, there's so many companies out there. You can't imagine the places I had to call to get the right source. And they're so nice to me. They're so good to me. So we're blessed there. Readings are still $1.99 a minute. The phone readings will be more, not that much more. They're not going to be like you go to some of these sites and it's like, oh, $15 a minute. Or No. Natalie doesn't do that. Natalie wants to keep the prices fair. I'm about fair, honesty, quality, none of that. I mean, and all my readers will be charging the same amount. I was going to change it. But I've never done that. I've never had competition on my site, and I don't think that's a good thing because sometimes it brings out the evil in people. Sometimes, you know, well, you're doing something for $1.99. I'm going to do it for $1.59. You understand what I'm saying? It's not good for business, I don't think, and it's not spiritual at all. It's not. It's just not. So those are the things that are going on. I've already talked to my guests. You know, they always call in before we get live on the air, and we're discussing some things. But I'm going to bring her on right now, and her name is Kathleen Reddy. I think it's called Dan. Is that right, Kathleen?
It's Diane. Very close.
Diane. You know, I thought to myself, it could be an A sound or an A sound. So I thought, well, I should have asked you before, but I was talking about other things before. So anyways, you're my beautiful guest today. My goodness, you have written so much, starting in 2011, right? One, two, three, four. This is your fifth book. Go ahead.
I have a couple of those books are children's books, but I have three novels, and I'm working on my fourth novel.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's go back and start from the beginning. What led you to, first of all, to write? Was it in school you always wrote? A lot of my authors that come on, they'll tell me, well, I was writing when I was 10. I had a little diary. I did too, but I certainly wasn't writing stories. I wasn't, you know, I'd say, well, so-and-so called today. We went to get a Coke, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
All that informational stuff that kids would do. But, I mean, how did you get started?
You know, I did always like to write. I've always loved to read, and I guess that's what really, you know, caught me, is because I love telling stories. So, I went to college for, you know, I was an English major so I could study literature. I thought I was going to be a college professor and pursue writing alongside that, and then I made the decision to go to law school. So I'm actually an attorney. Yeah, so that was a little branching off in my life. I did that. And when I had any free time at all, I was writing a book on my own. And I ended up, I self-published my first book. I was the one that I was writing when I was in law school and after I was practicing law. And, you know, that was based on a different topic than what I've kind of made my way to now. That was about alcoholism and drug addiction. And just, you know, some things I wanted to kind of share with the world in terms of, you know, the way I feel that addicts and alcoholics are stereotyped. And so I wrote this story about people in a rehab and all the characters in the rehab interact and how that impacts each other. So that's way back. That was my first novel. And then, you know, I learned to communicate with spirit, much like you, I think, Natalie. And when that happened, that created the biggest change in my life in many ways. It changed the way that I saw the world. It changed the way I saw death. So many things. And I started writing. So my first spiritual book was Before We Were Born. That I believe you've read that one.
I spoke with you
about a year ago. Yeah. So that one is based on the idea of reincarnation. And it's two soulmates who reincarnate together throughout different lifetimes. And the reason I wrote that is because I was communicating with spirit guides and I was learning so much about the idea of, you know, eternity. It is like it's eternal on both ends. Like we're alive before we get here. And then
Correct.
We continue, you know, into the spirit world. So some of the things I was taught about that, it just changed my life, and I wanted to share that with people. And so I wrote this story that's a love story about these two people, you know, incarnating together.
And then you wrote another one now.
Yep. So my new book is called Bridge Jumping.
About? Yes, I'm on your site, but I don't see that book. So tell us what that's about.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, so that book is about it's about this woman who dies, and she leaves instructions to have her body cremated and then separated into 12 vials of ashes so that the people who are closest to her can all take a vial and bring it to a place that has meaning to them in their relationship as a way of honoring her. And when I first had the idea, Natalie, I thought this is going to be an easy book to write. I'm going to kick it right out because I'm just going to have a chapter for each person where they go with the ashes. And the first chapter is Paige is the woman's name who passed. It's her funeral. So we meet all the characters at her funeral and they take the vial. And then I decided to have Paige have a voice as well. So I have journal entries in between every chapter so that the reader can also get to know Paige. And she, you know, people can hear not just the other characters' opinions of her, but her, you know, feelings about them. And then I took it another step deeper, and I decided I wanted every person to have a different spiritual outlook. So whether that's a religious outlook or, you know, or even like I have an atheist and an agnostic, and I have Buddhists, and I have all different kinds of belief systems. And I wanted to play with that idea of, like, how does that influence where they go with the ashes?
Right. I love it. I mean, I love it already. You know what? It's really strange. There are no coincidences, as we know, but I watch a lot of Netflix. Mm-hmm. But I like seasons. I don't like a movie. I like to have the characters explained, and you go into their life, and that's what it sounds like with your book. Why did you choose 12 vials?
You know, in the beginning, I started charting out, like I just had a list of who was going to take the vial. You know, so it wasn't,
okay.
It's not a symbolic number. It's just,
okay,
how do I want Paige represented? So I have her brother and her sister and her dad who's still alive, and but he has dementia. And so his new wife, Paige's mom, had already passed. So the new wife is sort of directing what's going to happen. And different friends, and I have her ex-husband there. And then in the end, her life partner, who she meets him on a bridge. So I'll tell you where I came to the idea of this title is, she meets him when he's standing on the railing of a bridge. And
oh, I have goosebumps.
Thinks,
I just have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So she thinks he's going to commit suicide, and then she realizes, no, it's not high enough. That's not what he's doing. And
it's not high enough, honey.
Not high enough. So she kind of writes out, she goes, fine. You know, she's like, now what? She says to herself, like in the journal entry you see, she says, so I ask myself, do I turn and run away, or do I stay here, you know, and do I jump? So it's this idea of, you know, life is a leap of faith, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, I think, you know, we come here, no memory of the life we had before we got here. So we don't remember our past. We also can't see our future. So there's a lot of blind faith in just being alive, you know, and waking up and, you know, trying to do our best every day. And so the idea of bridge jumping is it's literal. It's this, you know, this guy is actually jumping off the bridge as a way of honoring his best friend who died years back in a car accident. And so they used to jump off bridges when they were kids on the first day of summer. And so he does that every day on the first day of summer to honor him. And so there's a lot of interaction between.
So that's
you know,
why he's doing it on this particular day, was to honor
that's
him,
right.
Not to take his life, but just to honor him?
Yes, that's it.
Oh,
okay. So she stays and talks to him, and then they end up getting together, and he's really her life partner. They are soulmates. And she ends up getting diagnosed with cancer about 6 months into their relationship, and he stays with her, and he helps her to pass over. And he's the last person who goes with the ashes. And when he takes the ashes, he brings them to the bridge to jump with them.
Oh, my God, this book
her,
would make me – I would be crying.
Yeah, there are sad parts of the book, but
well,
it's really –
Well, but it's touching to me because, you know, everybody loses somebody and somewhere along the line, and parents and spouses and – and it can be worse than that, I know. So, but it just seems like you get to the heart of the matter in this book. I have to read this. I'm going to tell you that right now. It just has a lot of meaning, and I think it will be for everybody. And, you know, what's really nice about talking to you is that you're expressing things that a lot of people think about. And I'll say, oh, no. I mean, sometimes I get into discussions, especially with my one girlfriend, and I don't really know what she believes in, but she's certainly not like me. She, and I'll sit in wonderment with her sometimes, and I don't I don't argue with her because I know it's not best. You're going to ruin a relationship if you do politics, religion. And now I'm finding spirituality is another one. You have to be so careful. But so you're getting to the core of passing, and yet this lady's ashes will continue with 12 people. It's very important. That's why I wondered where you got the 12 from. It probably just came because these were people that you wrote on a list. Okay, well, I've got 12 now, right?
It just felt like the right number to me.
It is.
And also,
no, it is.
You know, and I thought when I first started writing the book, it was only going to be 12 chapters. And then it became more than that because, you know, I ended up making some chapters where I have two of the characters who each have their own vial of ashes. I have them meet. For instance, Paige, who passed away, left a brother and a sister. And her sister is very Catholic and very strict about it. And her brother is not. And he grew up with it, so he still has, you know, some of that in him. But he's a gay man, and he feels that he's been rejected by the church, and he's afraid to come out and tell his family. And so everybody has a backstory. So, and everybody has a title as to what they are. So he's the dissident because he's left the church. And Paige, the person who died, she's the heretic because she is just everything. She's just throwing her arms up. And once she meets her partner, she becomes like able to embrace her spirituality, which isn't enclosed in any kind of a title. It's just she comes to peace with herself, with God, as she understands God.
You're going to describe each character. That's what I like. I was talking about series. That's what I like about these shows that have seasons. But I especially like them if they have family members, all of them, and they go one by one by one, then they show them interacting, and that's what you're doing because, in essence, they're all interacting with each other because of her, because of Paige.
That's right.
And she probably didn't even realize what she would be doing by having this set up, because you can get ashes of anybody. You know, my son's got his father. I have the urn, and I really hate that. There's something about it that it's. I had him out on my dresser. He's been gone. It'll be 13 years, and I used to have the urn on my dresser. And then after a few years, I looked at it and I thought to myself, you know, this is just painful for me. Why do I keep looking at this? Don't look at this. Don't look at this.
Right.
So he's in my walk-in closet, and a big picture's with him, and that's how. It's not an altar, but it's when I go in there, I look at him and I smile and I talk to God every single day. I talk to things that you can't see. That's how I end my show, and I'm such a believer that I don't. And he really did not believe. My husband did not. He questioned everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't. You know, and that's. And see, and I love Paige because, you see, she knows what she's doing. She doesn't know at the time, but she did know. She knew. I'm gonna give 12. I'm gonna have 12. I just love your story already. It keeps giving me goosebumps, and that to me is very meaningful. It means I must read it. I'm telling myself, yeah, but you're probably gonna cry. But it's going to be okay because you already know what it's about. You already know, and I've had people on that almost died or died and went to the other side and said it's green grass and it's just like living here. Everybody's happy. They're working. They're doing their thing. Sky is blue. There's none of this crap. It's hard, my friends. Stuff that's going on now on Earth as we see it. But it's hard for people to recognize that. But in your book, she really allows people to see that there is more.
Right.
Each one in their own. Each one. I mean, I haven't read the book, but this is what I'm thinking. She is allowing them to see that there is much, much more that is affecting your life. But it's really difficult. You know, I'm older. older than you, I know, and I value, even though I have an older age number, I don't look it. I don't act it. My doctor, a heart guy, he said, you probably live till you be 100. I said, oh, my God. Well, I think if I can't walk and talk and type, forget it, because that's what I am, you know. And
I understand.
But when you reach a certain age, you start to think, I'm missing so much. But then, and I used to say this to myself, you're missing so much. You don't get to see your granddaughter all the time and everything. And then I started saying to myself, but are you really missing so much? You're really not. You're really not. I live in a beautiful place. I feed a herd of deer at night. I feed all, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, my mallards. I feed the squirrels right now until the mallards come, but I still feed my herd of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
have the animal kingdom. That's what I have. I might not have a lot of people per se in my life every day, but I have them. I have one that looks at my door wall with those big eyes. I call her Jezebel. Can you imagine? She's the one that's not afraid. Oh, you guys are so stupid. What are you worried about? She's coming out. I can hear her now, you know, at the door. And she says, don't get so anxious. She's here. I see her. But you see, what is it that you think you miss? You don't miss anything. I think this happens when you get older. You have time yet. But I worry. Mm-hmm. I want more years when I talk to God. I don't, you know, you don't make deals.
Yes, I understand.
But I'll say, you know, I think I need about 10 more years. I'll see my granddaughter graduate, perhaps get a wonderful job because she's in art and design. She goes to SCAD. I think I told you that then. And everybody knows where she goes. And I'd like to see her maybe marry one day and have a child. Oh, would that be wonderful? But
yes.
I also say to God, but I don't want to be incapacitated. I just want to be like I am. If I could stay like I am. So I'm striving for that. But
yes,
I just go to my heart doctor, not because I have something wrong. I have I was born with it. And, you know, he laughs at me and he says, I don't know what you're worried about. He told me that in November. And I said, you're younger than I am. You'll see. And he said, maybe. But he said, look at you. You're strong. I mean, there's nothing weak about you. I said, well, my mind is still really sharp and my body is. But things happen as you get older that you can't stop. You cannot stop it. You can do all the exercising you want. You can do all the walking you want. But the body is aging internally that you don't see. And so I would like 10 more years. But you see, Paige, I mean, I love her already. I see her as this beautiful lady, this kind woman, maybe soft-spoken. But she could get a little testy if she wanted to. But yet she had everybody's interests at heart, because to decide to, I'm telling your story in your version, you're telling your story, but to me, she was thinking ahead. And you were thinking ahead when you wrote it. I don't even know if you knew it or not. You're showing people, lots of people, what we can do to allow them to have us when we're gone with them.
Right.
But it's really difficult, though, you know, Kathleen, because if you lose somebody, and it's been terrible, you know, like the way my husband died and what he did to me, and how it's really difficult to want to have that on your by your bedside.
Yes,
you know,
I understand that.
But for the most part, go ahead. I don't mean to take up the whole show by me talking, but. I just have to get it.
I will send you a copy. You just email me your address and I'll send it to you.
That's a deal.
Okay.
And I will write a review of it.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
Oh, we'll put it in the flip and we'll put it in the text, yes. Okay, so what were you going to say? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, no. I think I maybe interrupted you, actually, Natalie. But I was going to say that, you know, none of the characters ended up keeping the ashes. They all brought them somewhere. One of them, her ex-husband, was very tempted. Like he said, he said, am I doing this for her or am I doing it for me? Because if I were doing this for me, I would walk around with these ashes in my coat pocket for the rest of my life. And then
that's
I'd
right.
feel like I could contain her in some way. And but she was this very, like, free spirit, and he said, but, you know, he takes her outside and he says, maybe I'll just, he realized he wants to put her ashes in the garden. And as he's doing that, he says, maybe I'll just put her in the ground in the vial and then I can take it out when I want to. And then he decides against it because he says, I could never bury a piece of page, you know, under a rock because of her free spirit, so he doesn't. And he kind of sprinkles them around the garden. But everybody has their own way of letting go. And so I have them go down different paths. And really the spirituality part really rears its head in a lot of ways. So Paige has, in her journal entries, she says that I am going to follow everybody as a spirit to the place where they go with my ashes. I want to be there when they do it and see it. If there's any way possible for me to do it, I'm going to be there and I'm going to give them some kind of sign that I'm there. So, you know, these different experiences happen to people and they are realizing that it sure feels like Paige is here. Some of them are more tuned into that than others. But she does kind of remind them, I'm still here in spirit.
Yeah, you know, I hear of people taking the ashes and spreading them wherever because it was a favorite place. That was done with my brother-in-law, and it bothered me. I don't know why. We thought of doing it. We used to go to Disney World. You know, I'm only like 4 hours away. And before I moved down here, we would go with my son when he was a little boy. And my son said to me, well, maybe we should take him to Disney World, although you're not allowed to do that. He said, oh, yeah, but you and I could get away with it. I said, oh, well, we could. I said, but think about it. I said, you really want to do that?
Right.
And we went a few times within the year, and him and I kept talking about it. We never did it. He has something of his dad's, you know, and he's so much like I am, although he questions spirituality sometimes. Mom, how can you believe all of this? I said, how can you not? I said, you can tell the story of I was raised a Catholic, but that didn't mean anything. It really wasn't. I think a lot of it comes from my past lives that I had that I probably don't even know about. One of them I know about. Only because it's a feeling, not that anybody has told me or not that I've seen anything. I just know. And so, we never did spread them. And, you know, I didn't give ashes to anybody else, just my son. Oh, I think maybe my brother-in-law might have gotten some. I don't know. I don't think so, though. I remember. It's so hard now. It's 13 years ago. And when you don't have a good time about it, you're kind of glad it's in the past because it's so. An author told me, he said, you should write about this. I said, no, I don't want to write about it. I don't want to go back. I said, you don't understand how horrible it was for me. No, I'll help somebody if they need help, but I'm not going to write about it. I just don't want to go there, you know. But anyways, I'd be curious to know how many people hold on to the ashes and how many, you know, like my brother-in-law's were spread, I think, in Asheville, by the Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yes, nice, but I'm sure they have some left, you know. I guess that's what you could do. I don't know. It's just always, it's not something that I ever wanted to do. I think I wanted to keep them close to me. I didn't want to give them away. Isn't that funny how people, you know, think different things? And, of course, when my parents passed away, there was no cremation. And they didn't offer that. If they did, I didn't know about it. You know, but they died less than 5 months apart of each other.
Oh, boy, that's rough. I'm sorry to hear that.
It was, but my father, he went after my mother. And I would visit him. He was in the hospital, and he was starting to write on this tablet. And he pointed to me. My mother didn't have a great death. I mean, it wasn't just going to sleep. I mean, she suffered. But him, he pointed to me. He pointed you to no, is what he said to me. He didn't want me to go through it again with him. He actually pulled himself off the respirator. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And
oh my
then
gosh.
He went because he wanted to be with my mother. You have to understand
yeah.
that. You know, I understood it. My mother was his everything. I mean, I wanted him to move in with me. No, I want to stay where your mother and I got our first house. And it was really
wow.
tough on me. But, it's strange. I think about sometimes, what if I would have had their ashes? I would have kept them with me probably. You know, my mother and I weren't close, but my dad and I were. And it was, it was awful to lose some people like that less than 5 months
yes.
apart. You betcha. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But I think that
I'm
started
sure.
my spirituality, Kathleen, because, you know, when he died, the priest came to me and he said, well, you know, he's going to be right next to your mom. You want to walk up the hill with me? I said, sure. No, nobody else would do it, you see. That's how open
mm-hmm.
I was to probably learning and sensing. And I walked up there and they were putting my father right down next to my mother. And I could see her coffin.
Oh, that's hard.
I could see it.
My
oh, no,
goodness,
no.
That would have, yeah.
He grabbed me and he said, you know, they're not there. Neither one of them are there. Mm. You know that. I said, I know.
Right. Yeah.
And that made all the sense to me. I didn't question him. And I think that started me on a really grand path of believing in things that you cannot see. They really are there. And that's how I end my show. And somebody asked me about that, and they said, why? And I said, well, I could tell you a lot of stories that have happened to me. But it makes me sad sometimes that there are some people that don't get it, Kathleen. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
And you can't make them. You can't make them get it.
No, you can't. I mean, we're all walking our own path, right, Natalie? We all are,
well,
you know.
We are.
A little different.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, it's a little harder, yes, and I question everything, and, you know, so when I have my little talks, I'll say to God, now, what was that about today? What was that about?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that? Why did you let that happen? See, but you know what,
yeah.
I was in another life, and I have kind of proof of it, is
yeah.
I walked with Jesus to his cross. He was dragged. He carried the cross, excuse me. I walked with him, and I was one of the ones that tried to gather all the people to stop it.
Huh. Wow.
And
how do
and
you know?
He,
what's the thing that you, what is the
well,
thing you remember?
Well, when my husband was really getting really bad, I had myself locked in the bathroom, just sobbing on the floor because I had no help. Everybody was working. My neighbors were all working. I was alone, totally alone. And they couldn't give anybody anything then he had Alzheimer's. They didn't even have anything that would calm him down. It tweaked him and made him worse. So, you know, I was in total terror 24/7, okay? So I locked myself in the bathroom and he's pounding on the door. And I'm on the floor here and I look down and I see these feet. And I see a robe. Not pure white, kind of like it had been worn a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I recognized, it was Jesus, as soon as I recognized it, I stood up and I never cried again.
Wow.
Because I knew when the time was right, it would be over, that I was doing a good job. I was doing an absolute good job, you know. But then Jesus came to me in a dream state, and he doesn't usually come to you like that. I mean, you can have dreams about everything else, but it's rare. I was in a vehicle, and my window was down. I was driving. My window was down, and there he was. And I looked down. I saw his feet. And I looked up.
In the car.
And he looked like an older man. You know, I mean, I didn't even know who he was, right? Well, he didn't talk to me. What he did is he looked down past my vehicle, like almost saying to me, look over there, look down that, past your car, and here comes all the apostles.
Wow.
Then he looked back at me and he said, now do you believe me? He didn't say it. He mentally told
me. Yeah, I see. I understand.
So I've had a couple of things happen to me. And then I had this huge crystal appear when I was dying. Actually, they didn't know what to do for me. appear on my back wall and lit up my whole room. One of my readers told me, she has since passed, and it's been horrible for me without her, but she has since passed. She told me, she says, it was either an archangel or it was Jesus, because you resonate with him. You resonate with him, and because he was a real person. And
right.
She said, or it was God himself. It could only be several things, because it was of such magnitude. It was to heal me, yes, but I had to see it. I had to wake up. They woke me up. So
wow.
I've had several things that have proven to me that I was with him. And I had an author who lives in Jerusalem, and we were talking, and he says, I have to interrupt you. He's an older man, you know, and he still talks to me. He still emails me, and he says, you know what you are. And I said, I don't know if it is what I am, but I am. And he said, no, you're an angel. He said, and I'm going to tell you some things. And he told me some things that he shared with me before we went on air. And he said, yeah, I want you to come here. If you can come here, I will take you to where Jesus was. And I'm going to tell you, you will have people following you. I said, why? He said, I just know it. I just know it. Because they're going to recognize you. I mean, I would love to go there. That would be one of my, you know, favorite places. But he calls me his big, beautiful white angel.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
And that's how he signs his letters. And,
wow. You
know, I don't know if I'll ever get there. It costs so much money, you know, and it's so risky there.
Yes.
Now, you know, because of everything going on, he had
yes.
to go to Dubai. He had to move away, of course. But it's just, there's certain things, and I think, like, for you, things have happened to you in your life. I mean, for even to think to write about things like this, why? What happened to you, Kathleen?
Lots of things happened along the way. I think a big one for me is I lost my sister when I was still in my 30s. And we were very close. And it was incredibly hard. Yeah. And very sudden. And after that, she came to me in a dream. And it was a few months after she passed. And I don't know if I already told you this story. If I'm repeating myself, you can tell me.
No, tell me again. I want to hear it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
So,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. So this is the first time. I think of it now as it's a clairvoyant experience or a mediumship experience, but I didn't know at that time that I was a medium. But I was sleeping, and suddenly I saw her enter the room, and it was this as if I was sitting up in the bed, but I could also, like, I was still sleeping in the bed, but I guess my spirit was sitting up in the bed, and she came right to me.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can see the vision, like you actually lifting yourself up out of your body.
Yes.
So
yes.
You could see, yes, okay, yeah, got it.
Communicating with her. So she came toward me, and there were two people standing behind her, and I couldn't see them at all. I could only see outlines, like light around them. And she sat on the bed, and she held my hand, and she said, she talked to me about her children. I'm the godmother to her daughter, and she was only 11 years old when her mom passed. And so we've remained very close. But anyway, my sister's name was Mary, and she told me that she asked me to watch over her kids. We talked about them, and then she said, I have to go someplace, but I'm not leaving for good, I'll be back. But it was some sort of, almost like education of some sort. She had to go to another, I don't know what, dimension, somewhere else. And
yeah,
learn.
I think they have seven of them. I think there's seven. And
oh,
when
okay.
they first passed, yeah, that's right. There's one gal that's been my mentor for Reiki for years, and there's seven of them, and they have to progress to different levels. So
okay.
that's probably what she was doing.
Yeah, probably. It was just something that I didn't fully understand, but I knew it was something she needed to learn. And she said, but I'll be back. She was afraid I was going to sense that she had left, that she wasn't close by. And she said, I will be back. And then she stood up and she walked out through the wall behind where I was sitting, and the people that were with her walked right out after her.
Oh my gosh.
And I woke up and I thought, I just talked to my sister. And that started me being very curious about the ability to speak to people who have passed over. My husband happened to meet someone who told him about a spiritualist church, which I had never heard of, but there are mediums there that will give readings.
Yes.
And so, you know, so that all really, that was the beginning of my journey.
And doesn't it make you feel really good when you have the chance to learn beyond, like, going to school? You have a chance to learn about what is more, that there is more. And most
yes.
people, if they're closed-minded, they you know, I mean, I can hear. I don't ever see when I'm awake. I'm not clairvoyant. So I'm clairaudient.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say, oh, I'm hearing this about you right now, Kathleen. No. I mean, I could say things to you that I would really, as they say, hit on you, which would be accurate. But
mm-hmm.
This gal that has worked with me, I've known her 25 years, she told me, she said, can you imagine if you were able to do all these clairs, they call them clairs,
right.
She said, how could you handle it all with what you do now? You have three websites,
yeah.
You have two big active sites, you're doing this, you're doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and you have your animal kingdom. How could you do it? She said, I don't see how you could. I said, oh, I could handle it. She laughs.
Yeah.
She says, yeah, probably.
but
some of us, people, because I used to manage, kind of not manage, I collected all the money for this huge spiritual group in Michigan. And I used to watch them. Now, I wasn't reading cards. I wasn't doing anything. And I would think, why can't I do some of that?
Yeah.
And I mentioned it to her, and she said, just think, can you imagine? You use both sides of your brain as it is. I don't think there's another side or a back or a front that you could use at the same time. But
yeah.
She said, it would be nearly impossible because you absorb so much, and knowledge is so important to you. I said, well, I don't know, maybe a little bit. She says, well, you have a little bit. You're not just a reader, quote, unquote. That's what she told me. You're not just
right.
that. And but sometimes, you know, Kathleen, you wonder why. I don't know how you get into what you get into, because my background was totally different than what I'm doing. I've been doing since I started my first site, totally different. When I became, I was an
yeah.
astrologer, and I was lucky to be sponsored by some very famous astrologers to get into the American Federation of Astrology. You had to be sponsored.
Mm.
And so,
wow.
But you know, see, that was more real to me, because those were facts. Your sun is in the 10th. Okay, you're going to do some grander things in the 10th house. I can tell you all about yourself, and I can tell you what's going to happen. And you know what I'm saying? But that wasn't
yeah.
enough for me. I mean, I did readings, tons of readings at home in Michigan, tons of them. But that didn't seem to be enough, because I kept stepping forward to something else, not learning, but just stepping. And it was all because I was supposed to, meeting all these people with all these abilities so that I could recognize all the abilities. So now, you know, I just hired 25 new readers, but I interview all of them. But you wonder, how do you end up falling into what you're doing, you know?
It's a very funny path. It is, the way it works out.
Really, if you look at your life, even you now, how you started off. Now, what kind of an attorney are you?
I did a couple of different things. I primarily did defense work for doctors who were being sued for malpractice.
Oh, okay.
But I also... So for like I did trial work. Like I did the trial preparation. I didn't go to trial. I did that for the people who were the lawyers who were going to trial. And I also did divorce for about, you know, all kinds of things like custody and all that for a couple of years. And that was just overwhelming. It just that was very difficult not to bring home. And
not
I have
only
two
that,
daughters with
it
my
wasn't
own.
It wasn't enough for you because
no, it really
you
wasn't.
You needed to go beyond that. That was just like a stepping stone for you. That's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, I'm not regretful that I went to law school. It was good for me. It was good for me in a lot of ways, but it was not what I was cut out to do.
Yeah, I've heard that. My nephew started to be a lawyer, and he didn't like it at all. He didn't like arguing. He didn't like all that book stuff that you had to do. And now he's in Florida. His mother left him a ton of money, and he's happier than a lark. You know, him and his brother probably don't even need to work. But anyways, but if you look at your life, really look at your life and see, how did I get to where I am? People ask me that all the time. And yeah. My background was tennis.
It was what?
But tennis.
Oh, tennis? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I was of service before that. I worked in a nursing home. I had my license to do here in Michigan. I did that. And I started at a small club at the desk. Then I went to a big club, started at the desk, but the owner came to me. He said, you are not a desk person. And he said, you are, but you aren't. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. I must have done something wrong, right? Nope. He wanted me to be the director. And I talked to him. I said, but I don't, because he saw something, how I handled people. I could deal with people very easily. And now I'm thinking back, it just tells me how I'm doing what I'm doing now. You see, that was a stepping stone.
Yes,
and
that makes sense.
The club was really big. It had 10 courts. It was, I cried when I left that place. I loved working there. But I've always been of service and a people person, always, in everything I've ever done.
Hmm.
You know, and I after my husband passed away, I thought, well, you could get a job. And I thought, no, I don't really want to do that. I'd be wasting myself because there's got to be more. There's got to be more. And you know, that's when I started Stars. I already had Planet Stars,
okay.
And I already had the magazine. So you
so,
see, if you – go ahead.
I'm just curious. When did you start doing astrology readings?
Well, I remember I collected money for this group. I started doing some
right.
little secretarial work, if you wanted to call it. She paid me like $5
okay.
an hour or whatever to handle some things, appointments and things for her, because she was a reader, and she organized this big, huge group. So I started with that. But then when my parents died so close to each other, my best friend, who has since passed, and I, her daughter, I'm her godmother, and we speak every single day, if not on the phone, in text.
Wow,
that's how close
wonderful.
I am to her. But anyways, we talked several times a day, and, you know, I must have kept asking questions, and she said, I know what you can do. And she said, why don't you learn astrology? I said, oh, her name is Barb. Oh, Barb, I can't do this. She said, you can do anything. I can't, but you can. And I said, how can you say that? She said, because I've known you since sixth grade, and I know. She says, it's all been locked up inside. That's what she told me. It's been locked up inside of you, ready to come out. So I started getting books, right? The Internet was not like it is today, or you can learn everything on the Internet now. And
right.
then I started seeking authors who wrote books because I got their books. And there
okay.
were two of them. And I wrote to them. I actually wrote them a letter. They wrote me back, and I talked to both of them on the phone. They loved me. They just thought, you know, I was their little protege, right? They loved
right.
teaching. I just happened to find two who loved to teach. And that's how I got started. But then,
yeah, that's,
but
that's
you know what? I took a numerology class on America Online.
Okay.
And numerology it relates to the houses 1 through 12 for astrology.
Okay.
So I learned a method from one of the teachers how I could answer a question. Like you could say, well, Natalie, am I going to move? There's a solar return, a year forecast, and a monthly forecast. Am I going to move? Well, I'll do the year forecast and look, and then I'll do the month. And I can answer you by going four houses ahead, and I can tell you this because of these two old ladies now. Because I can answer it because of where the planets are sitting in your house, I can tell you if you're going to have an obstacle, if it's going to be smooth sailing. I can answer any question and be accurate.
Wow.
Even more so than a clairvoyant.
That's amazing.
Well, you know, and so so that's how I got started into all of this. And then I worked for America Online in something called Crystal Ball. And there were 350 of us. And the owner, or manager owner, I don't know what she was, I saw something in her I didn't like. She was very bossy, very demanding, commanding. And I would sit there. We had these big, huge meetings that we'd all have to attend online. And I think to myself, I would never be like you if I was ever an owner. Well, I'm not like her.
Right.
And that's when I started. I met my then a webmaster. We were together. We were partners for like a year, and then we divided everything, and she went her way because she wasn't like me either. She was too bossy.
Right.
You can't boss people around. You got to be kind to people.
And so
I developed that. Then I met my webmaster who redesigned Mystic Living Today. He's been working with me. I don't like to even say for me. We're such good friends. I mean, he's 41. He's just wonderful. He puts up with my shenanigans, I always tell him. I probably make him pull his hair out sometimes because, no, I think it should be this way, you know. So that's how I got into the world that I'm in.
Wow. That's an interesting life.
Well, it has been. It really has been.
Right.
And I have my cards, but you haven't read my cards in a long, long time. I put them down, and I don't even know why. Maybe I got a little disenchanted, and they've been calling to me, though. Calling to me means I keep looking at them. Before, I didn't even know they were there. You know, I put them in my by my dresser in this little shelf-like, and they're sitting there. But all of a sudden now, I keep looking at them. They're calling to me. You need to pick these up. You need to pick us up.
Okay.
I do have a deck that's 100 years old that I use also that I got.
Where did you get that?
Well, I got it on Etsy. This girl was selling it. I was looking for a particular deck because when you want to learn something, you devour. If you really want to learn, you have to devour everything. I'm learning coding online. And Tony says, oh, my God, you get to add that to your repertoire. And I said, well, you know me. But anyways, you learn. You seek. And once you seek, you're going to find things, and it'll lead you to something else and to something else. And I found this lady who used these cards, and I loved them. And I thought, well, how am I going to get this deck, right? So I started searching, and I found this pretty much a young gal who got the deck from this old house. It was hidden away. The cards were hidden away. Oh, as soon as she said that, I knew they were mine. And we corresponded, and I bought them from her. And she wrote me this letter, and she said to me, I have never been so honored to have somebody like you want this deck, because she said, I knew it needed to be in the right hands.
Wow, that's wonderful.
But she wasn't even spiritual.
Really?
She didn't think she was. She was more than she thought. And those are the cards that are talking to me. Pick us up.
Yeah,
and then I started reading charms. You know, I can read charms, too. You've heard of that, right?
Oh, okay. I don't
like
know
the
what that is.
Well, you know, every charm, you have a little charm that represents, you can have it. It might have a deck of cards on it. It might be a image of a house or a phone. But they're an actual charm like you would put on a bracelet.
Okay.
I put those away, too. I got disenchanted at the same time, and you can devise your own way of doing your readings by, you know, doing a circle. Me, I would do astrology. I would put the houses there. You see?
Okay.
But because they all interlock. Everything interlocks with everything.
Right.
When you're doing something like that, you know, and I just think that. so many, there's so many, so much talent out there. It's just phenomenal. Now, I do have another question for you. Well, actually, this came from my gal, Jackie.
Okay.
She says here, can you tell us a little bit about the principle of ahimsa and how it guides you?
Oh, that's a lovely question. So I have that word tattooed on my wrist.
How do you pronounce it?
Ahimsa.
Ahimsa. Okay, I like that. Okay.
Yes. And above it, I have some flowers growing in a bird. I am very connected to animals. I love animals.
Like me. Uh-huh.
Yes. I have, in my yard, I have a murder of crows that come every day, and I feed them, and I love them very much. Like you love, it's the same with your deer. That's an ancient Indian philosophy. So it's not something I invented or created or anything like that, but I feel attuned to it. And what it means is that you live without doing your best to not harm anything else. So that's my spirituality, which is, you know, I don't harm animals in any way. I try not to harm humans in any way, or, you know, just to kind of like walk gently on the earth.
Yep.
That's my spirituality.
Okay. I don't have any tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't like pain.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, I mean, I can withstand a lot, but I don't feel I need to have somebody punching a little needle in me making a design. I love them. You know, my granddaughter, of course, she's 19, and you know she would have them. And I saw her the other last week, and she said, she calls me Gram-Gram. Oh, Gram-Gram, come here, I want you to show you something. She doesn't tell me she gets them, because I just think of my granddaughter being poked by something that's going to hurt. It just, oh, no, I'm going to take you away. I'm going to protect you. You are not doing this.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? That's just a grandmother thing, a mother thing.
Sure.
But she's got quite a few of them, and I told her the story about this one girl that worked for us. I had a salon and with people, right? She had a tattoo on her back. Well, she got engaged, and she was going to get married. You know, she had to have that removed because she didn't want it showing with her dress.
Oh, my gosh.
So I told my granddaughter, I said, always think ahead. Always think ahead. Put it in a place that is not going to have to be removed, because that is not fun.
No. No, it isn't.
So, is that the only one you have, or do you have others? Or
yeah, that's it. That's all. I feel connected to. And so
that,
I will tell her
what your answer was. And then she says here, what can you tell us about past lives and soulmate connections? Are they different?
I can tell you that we all have past lives. I don't know what yours are. I can't read like that. But I have been told some of
my... Oh, they
must
be doozies. They have to be doozies.
What, your past
know.
Lives? Oh, yeah. I'm sure they were adventurous. Because you're an adventurous person. You're an adventurous soul.
You know, when I talk to God, I'll say, just open the door. I need help. I don't want you to do it for me. Just open the door. You know I'm going to walk through, and if it's terrible, I'm going to walk out and slam the door behind me. You know I'm going to do that. I'm not going to stand for any nonsense. So, yeah, I was adventurous. I had to be. You're right.
Oh, for sure. I think it's a good thing to be adventurous. I think the more we pull towards us, you know, when you talk about finding interest and seeking things, I think that's pulling the life force. I think it keeps us going. I think it's that energy that keeps the life force moving through us. But anyway, soulmate connections. Yes, there are many different kinds. So in my book, Before We Were Born, it's a romantic connection. And I wrote it that way because I thought it would be the most digestible relationship to read about, you know, and so it is a fictional story, but it's based on concepts that are real, and you know, from what I've been taught. But in my new book that I'm writing, it's a sequel to Before We Were Born, and it again is this couple who was born, and they're going to find each other again. But there's also a connection that is brothers. And I feel like that's something that, you know, you don't hear a lot about. And there's this very deep, real connection. And, yeah, so there's all kinds of – there are soulmates that we, you know, we know we're going to be born into the same family, and there are some that we meet along the way, just as various as it could possibly be.
Now, what about – like if there's somebody in your life now that you're around, but there's just something there. There's just not that, oh, I'll do anything for you. I mean, I probably only have one that's like that. There's just something that must have come from another lifetime that we had some to-dos with each other. And I've asked some of my readers, and they said that's because she's jealous of you. She is not like you, and it bothers her, even though there's not that love for you. How can people be? I don't know. I don't understand that. I work around it, and I just forget about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't pay any attention. How do you do that? How does it come from another lifetime? It must, right?
You know, some relationships do and some don't. I mean, it might be something. I mean, are you saying that you have this issue with her and you don't really, you can't find the basis of it?
Correct.
Yeah.
There's really no reason for it.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a past life thing, right?
It could be. It could be. And maybe she's nudging you into a certain direction or you're nudging her. I mean, if you have a soulmate in your life, of any kind of a soul connection in your life, it's part of your spiritual growth. So one of you is helping the other along, if not.
Well, I'm helping her along, I can tell you that. Because
yeah.
I don't hold her to it. I just kind of let it go right over my head. I don't and mostly she's condescending to me. And I know it.
Okay.
You know, and I know it, and I don't, for somebody who is as loving and kind as I am, and I am to her, there's just something there. The less I think about it, and then she'll do an about face and be super sweet to me.
Huh.
Yeah, she's got issues.
Yeah, she must realize. She probably walks away from you after she is not treating you well and realizes it and is trying to make up for it.
Yeah, now why did I say that to her? Why? Not even why,
yeah.
But I guess I shouldn't have said it that way. I should have
used
my words better. Or yeah, but she does this to other people also. But people just waste so much time, and you know, I have one friend. She says, "Well, karma's going to get her." I said, "No, I didn't. No." But
right.
She is being watched, and there is notes being taken. You cannot treat people like that and expect goodness and wellness and all of that. And you cannot do that, you know, at all. Like as a little girl. This boy hit me with a rock. I was and I was bleeding. He got on his bike. I took off after him. Now this was a big kid. I was just about 8 years old.
Yeah.
I got on my bike. He rode up to where there was gravel on the road by this gas station. He forgot about it and he slid and he fell over.
Mm.
Well, yours truly got up, got off her bike, and I hit him in the face. And he said, he's sitting there on the ground. He said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "You hit me in the head with a rock. I'm bleeding."
Wow.
And he said, "Well, I could get up and really hurt you." I said, "Well, then if you knock me down, you better hope I don't get up." That's what I told him. I was just this little twerp, you know. But I was strong and fearless with my convictions.
Right.
And
right.
He sat there, and I said, "Another thing I'm going to tell you." Yeah, this was 8 years old now, already had a big mouth. "I'm going to tell you, go back and tell all your little friends, we will all get along this summer. There's a lot of kids in these several blocks, and we could have a great time playing baseball in the streets because you could do that in the street. Having a good time. And there will be no fighting.
Yeah. You laid down the law.
Yeah, because he's probably thinking, oh, they're going to have to deal with her. And I said, because there just won't be. This is not what you do. I never had trouble again with anybody in the neighborhood ever growing up. And I lived there till I was 18. And so you see, even then, I was trying to change happenings. I saw it later, but I didn't know it then. All I knew was this is wrong and this is right. And this is wrong, what you did. And you need to be called upon for it.
Now, this is why the owner of that tennis club, I think it was, that you said you were, he saw you as the director. Because this is what you were directing when you were 8 years old.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way, but you're right. He saw me as somebody who could handle, I mean, there's probably 2,000 members, and they were always owing him money, and they were always, and the kids at the desk, they couldn't go up to them and ask for money. Oh, I could.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw something in how, you know, I answered the phone, I was taking credit cards, putting them through the machine. I was looking up stuff in the classroom because we had classes. Who's the instructor? Checking them off. You're good. You know, I'd motion to them. You're okay. I could do five things at one time, and he saw that. He watched me.
Right.
It was the first week that I was there. And he came up and I thought, oh, I'm in trouble now. He's the owner. Uh-oh. No, I wasn't in trouble at all.
Right.
Yeah, he saw me taking charge and not being afraid and knowing what is right and knowing what is wrong.
Right,
and I knew.
That's what you're still doing. You're still doing that, and you were doing that when you were eight. It's just who you are.
It's what I am. Yeah, I just and the same thing in another life with Jesus. I was doing what was right, and
right.
I was seeing what was wrong, but he told me to stop. No, you'll die, he said to me. I don't want you to do this. You'll die. I'm doing this for everyone. This is for all. I never forgot it. It's been in my head. And, you know, this man that's in Jerusalem right now, he said, you just have to come here. He said, everybody would be so thrilled. And I said, well, I don't know. I got a big mouth. He said, you'd have the troops right behind you. But anyways, and I'm so small. You know, I'm 102 pounds and 5'2". Okay, I have something else here.
Wow. Okay.
At a time in our lives when religions clash, how do we find a common ground? In other words, when the religious clashes impact us. So, you encounter somebody that, oh, no, that's not right. Oh, no, that's wrong or whatever. How do you find a common ground? I can answer that, Jackie. Her name is Jackie. Just be nice and don't, because sometimes people, you can argue with them till the sky falls or state things and it's not going to work. It's part
right.
of their being. It's part of who they are.
Yes. I understand.
Right?
You know, it was one of the goals when I wrote this book to talk about that. Like, how do we get along when we have such varying, you know, belief systems, when they're just, you know, there's such a disparity between, you know, one person to the next. And really, it's just, you know, in my opinion, we're trying to get back to who we really are, to our soul self, and back to God, which is our home. And I think everyone is trying to do that. You know? And I thought about Ram Dass had this quote where he said, we're really just walking home. And I thought, you know, that is pure gold, because I think that's what it is on life. We're all heading in the same direction. We're getting there in different ways.
Right. The different paths that we're on. Yeah.
Yes. You know, and to be respectful of each other's, because we're all trying to get home. We're all trying to get there by the best way that we understand based on our own life experiences.
One more question she has.
Okay.
What if death is only the beginning? Now, this is her asking these questions. She's
just,
you understand?
Yeah, I understand that question. That was for, something that I was talking about in Before We Were Born. So, you know, when I wrote that book, I had this idea about, because I had this new understanding of, you know, the eternalness of life, I wanted to write a story where one of the main characters died and it was a happy ending because she was going home. And, you know, that's how that is. It's because when one of these characters passed over and Before We Were Born, and the other partner was left on Earth, and they learned how to communicate, but they weren't completely together. And so when she passes over and she's back in spirit with him, it really is another beginning for them. If that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. Makes all the sense in the world to me. But you and I are, we are not walking the exact same path, but you're alongside me somewhere. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
I'll take that. I'll take
you're
that
behind
down.
Me somewhere because I'm older than you. And
well,
I'm saying, Lucy, I can't believe I'm here. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I really love what I do. I really do.
Yeah.
You love what you do. Isn't it great
yes.
to know that there are people like us out there that are spreading all this joy and love, and we don't miss a beat. I don't miss a beat, and I have no intention of it. You have the name of your next book?
I don't. I don't
okay.
have it yet. I'm about a third of it's written in the draft, but I don't know yet. I'll let you know when I'm close. How about that?
Oh yeah, because you know. But I'll send you my address so you can send me the book. But Before We Were Born, you know, I'm sure I told you last time when we talked about my fairy tale about a couple that find each other. They've been searching thousands of years, centuries, looking for that person, and they finally connect again, finally, or their last time, actually. If there is a last time, I don't know. I don't even have the answer to that. But she has all these abilities. I'm writing about myself, and I'm writing about mm-hmm. somebody that I'm very, very fond of. I probably love him. I don't have a chance with him, but that's okay. I've had a little chat with God about that. God loves my
okay.
chats, you know, because it's just not sometimes you're in different worlds. Sometimes, I mean, it, so to speak, your life is just different. And for you to step into mine and me to step into yours would probably be very traumatic for both of us. And I used to sob about him because I knew there was never going to be a chance, and I would cry, and really, this is real, and cry and cry and cry. And then all of a sudden, I had a little chat, my morning chat with God, and I said, you know, I think I get it. Sometimes, you know, first of all, we know it has to be the right moment in time. If it's not, it's not going to work, and we don't want it any other way, especially if it's something so
right.
monumental. You don't want to miss. You just don't. So I said, I understand that. I said, and then sometimes I said, I know that what we think we might want at this moment in time would not be good for us. And
that's
I
true.
Said, I'm giving this back to you, even though I'll probably cry more about it, but I don't sob. Natalie usually sobs. I don't usually just cry. I really sob. I was really, I mean, it bothered me so bad because I knew I didn't have a chance at all. And now I've kind of come to terms with it. And the funny thing of it is that the readers that I've just interviewed, like I said, 23, 24 of them, they've all said something to me about him. I didn't ask.
Oh.
They said, you know, there's going to be somebody that's going to contact you that you've been waiting for. What? Oh, how? I don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to know how. You don't need to know how. He just will.
Right. That's very interesting.
It is. But I'm still of the same mind that we are spiritually connected. I know we are. And I know he knows who I am. My friend that passed away told me. She said, no, you're right on. You wouldn't be so strong. Not you. You would not be so strong with something if it was not real and if it was not right. And she was right. She was right about it. But now I don't cry. I get a little sad inside, but I don't do what I used to do. This was after my husband passed away, so it was just awful for me. And I realized you can't be doing this. You can't make something happen. Only God can make something happen. We are not. I mean, we can be at the right place at the right moment in time, but how do you think we got there?
Yeah, you're right.
You see what I'm
you're
saying,
right about
Kathleen?
That.
Yeah,
I
so
really
now,
do.
But and this one, my mentor, she said, you should write this. Make it a fairy tale. I said, I don't want to write it. And she said, why? I said, because it hasn't happened. She said, well, maybe it'll happen. I said, no, it won't be that way. No, I don't want to. I'll know.
Well,
and if I'm to write about it, I want it to have a happy conclusion. I don't want it to be, well, they're still searching. Guess what? They're still searching for each other. Because it never happened. And I know how I'm going to end it, and I know the name of it already. But I can't do the in-between, you know. You could probably write it for me because you see, you and I are of the same mind. I just know it. I mean, I've talked to lots of authors. But the thing of it is that I would want it to be for young people floundering and wondering. And, you know, they think they really care for this person so much, and I worry about my granddaughter. I want her to do the illustrations. I worry about her because she's just like me. And your heart can really break. You can walk. Well, you know, imagine when you were a teenager and you thought, oh, this is the guy. This is the one. Oh, he's talking to somebody else. He doesn't care about. You know what I'm saying? That
yeah, it's painful. Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody does that. My son said to me, Mom,
of course.
You can't tell them what to do. They have to learn. I said, I know, but you don't want them to suffer. You want to make it right. And me, you knowing me, the way you know me, I would want to clear the path. Mm-hmm. I already had a chat with her boyfriend. I told him, don't you ever hurt my granddaughter. And he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm more afraid of you than I am her parents. I said, you should be.
Good for you.
So walk a straight and narrow with her, guy. Boy, I call him boy.
Right.
No, he's really nice. He's really nice. But there's something about him I don't like, and I don't trust, and I don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. So, but anyways, God, it's been wonderful talking to you. We could talk for hours.
I know. We really could. It has been wonderful talking to you too, Natalie.
And I'll send you my address. I can't wait to get the book.
Yes.
And I'll try to read it now. We'll be going into the April issue.
Okay.
So I don't know if I'll make it for that, but for sure the May. I'll let you know. And
that
I'll do a nice
awesome.
Review, and I'll put the book cover in there, and I'll put your other books at the bottom, and a link to our radio show. And now I'm gonna promote this. As soon as we're done, I'm going to send it off to – it'll go to Twitter, and I can always write a little something about it. And, you know, I don't even I it's impromptu. I don't think about what I'm going to say. I just write. Maybe I'm an automatic writer. I never thought of that, too. I could do that.
Maybe you are. I bet you could. That is so cool.
You're very inspirational, Kathleen. I want to tell you that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's a lovely thing to say.
Yeah, you're inspiring to me. And we will talk again. We will.
Yes.
And
that sounds
good. Yes, it's wonderful. So, okay, I want to tell you about her site. Let's not forget that. And I'm going to spell it. It's KathleenReadyWayan.com. And she's got her one book up here, Before We Were Born. A beautiful book. But, you know, she today, I'm going to tell everybody, she sparked some things inside of me that made me realize some things about myself. And hopefully if you listen to our talk, it'll inspire you and allow you to realize things about yourself as well. And that's what I'm going to put. I just said what I just said. I'm going to put that when I promote you. You were already promoted on Facebook, by the way, and all the social media because my gal did an ad for you.
Oh, wonderful. Natalie, thank you for all this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, I know you do. I can hear it, and you're most welcome. And I love you dearly, and I'll send you my email, my address, so I can get my book and start reading.
Oh, that's
yes.
Great. I will send it right
indeed.
Off to you.
Okay, honey. All right, you have an awesome day. And for everybody listening,
too.
Yes, I'll be on next week, same time, same station. And I'm going to end this like I always do, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And for that, I will say goodbye. Look out the window. It's a beautiful world. Much love to all of you. Bye-bye.